So we're having some discussion about Manjari Tattva, and there's one book called Murali Vilas, which I think is in English now, but it's by Ramchandra Goswami, who was the adopted son of Janavamata. Janavamata was the wife of Lord Nityananda, along with her sister, Vasudha. And Vasudha gave birth to two children. One was named Birchandra Goswami and Ganga Devi. But Janavamata didn't give birth to any children. And in Krishna Lila, she's Ananga Manjari, Radharani's younger sister. So Ramchandra Goswami, he was adopted by Janavamata, and she trained him in spiritual life. So one day, it's contained in this book, Ramchandra, or Ramai Thakur, he asked a question to Janavamata, because she was Jagatmata. She's considered to be the guru of all the Vaishnavas after Nityananda left. Ma Janava, she's called Ma Janava. She's like the mother, spiritual mother. And she also used to cook sometimes. The Kethari Mahotsav in Bangladesh, there was a big feast there, and Narottam Das installed some deities, and Srinivasacharya was there, and she cooked, she organized a cooking for thousands of devotees. She's like a mother in the sense that she fed everyone. But she's more like a mother because she supplied spiritual nourishment for the soul. And that's the most important nourishment. Ma Janava. Her Baitak is there. You chanted your prayer there. So he asked about the moods of a Manjari, because she's Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is Radharani's younger sister. So she's a Manjari, but she's also a Nayaka Bhav. She also enjoys intimately with Krishna. So she's like Manjari come Sakhi. She's in a special category. So then he said, please, can you tell me about this Bhavalas? We're talking about Bhavalas Rati, which is a special Stai Bhav of the Manjaris. So Janava said, listen, this Bhavalas Rati can only be found in the holy land of Vrindavan. So this special type of feeling the Manjaris have, you don't find it anywhere in Mathura or Dwarka, or to speak of Vaikuntha. Krishna's Vrindavan Dham is even beyond the reach of the gods. The ever-youthful divine couple Radha Govinda reigns supreme in Vrindavan. Serving them day and night are her handmaidens, that means maidservants, like Rupa Manjari and Ananga Manjari, who possesses Bhavalas Rati. The happiness of the divine couple is their happiness. They know nothing else. Always immersed in the ocean of bliss in the service of Radha Krishna, they are oblivious to time. The love of the Manjaris, which delights in feeling like a companion mood, aims at giving pleasure to Krishna. It feeds and nourishes the love between Radha and Krishna. The Manjaris are all identical with Radharani. They merely possess different bodies. One life, one soul, but all are expansions of Radha. When she and her lover are at the height of rapturous intimacy, and the hairs stand erect on Radha's body, the very same phenomenon occurs in the bodies of her Manjaris. They experience seven times the pleasure that Radha does. Sometimes, on some excuse, Radha arranges erotic meetings with Krishna with her Manjaris, seeing which her happiness increases thousands of times. It's inconceivable that, especially in light of what we've been discussing, that someone will have a lover, and a very beautiful, handsome, wonderful lover, and generally the idea of mamta is possession is there. This is my lover, and I want this lover for myself and no one else. But can you imagine having such a beautiful lover and then telling your lover, okay, it's nice, I was nice to be with you. Now, why don't you go now and go meet some other girl? That would never happen in this world. It's impossible. But Radharani, she actually finds happiness in seeing Krishna go and meet with the Manjari. So sometimes he goes and he has erotic interludes with, especially Ananga Manjari, if she agrees on the behest of her older sister. And she even has a special Seva Kunj right in the middle of Radha Kunj, which we can't see, but it's an island floating in the middle of Radha Kunj, where Ananga Manjari serves intimately Radha and Krishna together, and sometimes herself with Krishna. But the other Manjaris, they always say no, and they may be embraced or kissed by Krishna, but they never go much further than that, because they're so much attached to Radharani's service. Radharani delights in seeing the Manjaris, the attachment the Manjaris have for Radharani when Krishna tries to seduce them. They say, no, And Radharani smiling, oh, my mantris are so faithful. They love me so much. But sometimes, and so that's one category of mantris, which is mostly conditioned souls who become mantris or like that. But Ananga Mantri is, although a mantri, she's also like a sakhi in that sense that she pleases Krishna. This is a description of Bhavala's love, because of which the Lord said in the Rasa dance, unable to pay you gopis for the love you have shown me. The process for attaining Bhavala's prem is described by Narottam Das in Prem Bhakti Chandrika in song number 1. The love of Radha and Krishna is as pure as gold, refined thousands of times. May the glory, the glorious crown of Rupa and Sanatan, may glory crown Rupa and Sanatan who revealed this treasure to the world. Oh, please give, be kind and give me that treasure of love, and I will wear it as a pendant around my neck. In their books, these two great souls, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, have clearly described the intricacies of sacred love. Hearing their works produces great joy in the heart and the shelter of the erotic rapture of the divine couple. That's from Stavavali. This is not very clear. One point we could make here. So reading from Adi Lila, chapter 4, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishna is explaining about the how the gopis of Braj, Braja gopis, have such pure love for him that they've renounced everything for his pleasure. Atma-sukha-dukhe-gopira, nahika-vichar, Krishna-sukha-hetu-cheshta, mano-vyavahar. This is Krishna speaking. The gopis, or I guess it's actually Krishna's coverage. The gopis do not care for their own pleasures and, or pains. All their physical and mental activities are directed towards offering enjoyment to Krishna. Krishna Sukha Hetu, Cheshta, Mano Vyavahar. Cheshta means their activities, and Mano means their thinking, their thoughts. Hetu is for the benefit. Atma Sukha Dukhe Gopira Nahika Vichar. Vichar, they don't consider or think about their own happiness. Atma means their selves, their own Sukha Duk. Krishna Lagi Yara Sabha Kari Parityag, Krishna Sukha Hetu Kari Shuddha Anurag. They have renounced everything for Krishna. They have pure parityaga, right? Parityaga means completely giving up everything. Tyag. Arasabakari, sub, everything they've renounced. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. Krishna sukha hetu, shuddha anurag. Then there's a verse where Krishna is speaking to the gopis. When he returned to them during the rasa dance, he spoke this verse. Evam madarto jita loka veda swanam hi vomayano vrittaye bhalaha maya paroksham bhajata tirohitam masuyatam marhata marhata tat priyam priyaha. My beloved gopis, you have renounced social customs, scriptural injunctions, and your relatives, madarta ujita loka veda. For my sake, I disappeared behind you only to increase your concentration upon me. Since I disappeared for your benefit, you should not be displeased with me. Krishnera pratigya eka achi purva haite ye jay jay che bhaje bhaje Krishna tare bhaje taiche. Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way they worship him. This is Krishna pratigya, Krishna's promise from Purva before. Reciprocate with the bhajan. And what is that promise? It's in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11.
I respond, ye yatha mam prabhadyante tam satayvam bhajamiham.
In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Prabhupada's purport. Krishna was never ungrateful to the gopis, for, as he declares to Arjuna in this verse from Gita, Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in proportion to the transcendental loving service they render unto him. Everyone follows the path that leads towards Krishna, but there are different degrees of progress on that path, and the Lord is realized in proportion to one's advancement. The path is one, but the progress in approaching the ultimate goal is different, and therefore the proportion of realization of this goal, namely the Absolute Personality of God, is also different. The gopis attained the highest goal, and Sri Chaitanya affirmed that there is no method of worshipping God higher than that followed by the gopis. Ramya kachit upasana brajabudhu bir sakalpita. Se pratigya bhanga haila gopira bhajane tahate pramana Krishna shrimukha vachane. That promise of Krishna has been broken by the worship of the gopis, gopi bhajan. As Krishna himself admits, Praman, Krishna's Sri Mukhavachan. Sri Mukhavachan, the words from Krishna's beautiful mouth, Krishna Sri Mukhavachan. By his own words, he's established the proof that he broke his promise. Because in the Gita, Krishna promises, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. But here they're saying, but Krishna's promise has been broken. I promised to reciprocate you. But Krishna's own words, he spoke in the Bhagavatam, he said, I can't repay you. Gopis, you've served me, you've pleased me, you've given up everything, your loka dharma, street dharma, all kinds of dharmas you've given up for my sake, Veda dharma, loka dharma. You've given up everything for me, but I'm a debtor, I can't, you give me $1,000,000 and I can only give you 1 lakh back. You're forcing me to break my promise. I promised to reciprocate, now I can't reciprocate. So now the verse, and this is coming, Sri Mukhavachan. The praman for this, the evidence or the proof for this is Krishna's own words. Where are those words? Those words are there also in Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, chapter 32, verse 22. We just read 21 before. Napariyeham niravadya, napariyeham niravadya samju yujam swasaru krityam Vibuddha Yushat Bibha Yamabhajandur Jayadgeya Shrinkalaha Samvrishtya Tadva Pratiyatu Saduna. Krishna said, O gopis, I am unable to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. As Krishna is telling you, you have to be happy. You lent me this 1 lakh of rupees? So that's very nice. I can't pay you back, but you just be happy that you lent it to me, okay? Tabe je dekhiya gopir nija dehi prita sehuta krishnera lagi janiha nishchita. Now, whatever affection we see the gopis show for their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Krishna. So, nija dehe prita. The love that they show, like we say, I love my body and I groom it and pamper it and do everything. Dekhiya, so if we see the gopis, dekhi gopi, nija dehe priti, if we see the gopis being very affectionate or careful, and careful about their body and their maintenance, it's only for Krishna's pleasure. And they're only brushing their hair and braiding their hair and putting flowers in it so that Krishna will be pleased. Or he'll enjoy the pleasure of making their hair become loose when they're together confidentially. So this is the selflessness that whatever, but here when we show, we're so much taking care of our bodies, it's not for anybody's pleasure but our own. But the selfless love of Godhead exhibited by the Braja Gopis cannot have any parallel. We should not understand the carefulness of the Gopis in their personal decoration. The Gopis dress themselves as beautifully as possible just to make Krishna happy by seeing them. They had no ulterior desires. They dedicated their bodies and everything they possessed to the service of Krishna, taking it for granted that their bodies were meant for his enjoyment. They dress themselves with the understanding that Krishna will be happy by seeing and touching them. Edeya kailan ami krishne samarpan tanra dana tanra iha samboga sadan. The gopis think, I have offered this body to Krishna, Krishna samarpan. We say tan man dan Krishna samarpan. Pandas always say like that. Sometimes they say, also people say, tan man dan guru samarpan. Arpan means to worship or to offer, to give. Arpan, arpanam. Samarpan means complete. Sam means complete or everything. Offer whatever we have. And what do we have is it, tan man dan. Tan means our body, tanu. Our body, our man, our mind, body and mind. And what's left is our wealth. Dhanam, our wealth means our qualities. Our good qualities, our abilities. And that can also mean our cold cash. Rupees, rubles, paisa, taka. And we offer that. But really it means whatever valuable thing we have, we offer. If we know how to sing, we sing for the Lord. If we know how to dance, we dance for the Lord. That's our dhanam. Tanman dan, guru samarpan. Whatever we have in our hand, talent, ability, beauty, knowledge, strength, fame, writing power, speaking power, sales power, any kind of power, we offer to Krishna. That's our wealth, that's our power, that's our opulence, and our body and mind. So the gopis are doing this, that we're existing for him. Krishna samarpan, sambhog sadhana. Our sadhana is to bring about his sambhog, his enjoyment. Edeya darshana sparshe Krishna santoshana he lagikare deha marjana bhushana. Krishna finds joy, santosh, complete joy. And the gopis are thinking like this. This is what they think. First they think, this is their thoughts. This is what a gopi thinks like. You want to know what's gopi bhav? Bhav means thinking, feeling. Bhav is a type of thinking, it's a type of feeling, an action which follows suit. Well, what do gopis think like? You want to follow the gopis? That means you have to think like a gopi. You have to think like a gopi, you have to feel like a gopi, you have to act like a gopi. That's gopi bhav. Right? Like if you want to be a business lady, you have to think like a business lady and act like a business lady. You know, it's like whatever. You can't act one way and think another way. You just will be a failure. So how do they think? They think, this body is for Krishna, Krishna samarpan. He is the owner and it brings him enjoyment. And Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for his for this reason that they cleanse, and so that's the end of their thinking. And it's for this reason that the gopis cleanse and decorate their bodies. Marjan Bhushan. Bhushan means ornaments, or decorations, ornaments, jewelry. And Marjan means Mandira Marjanando. Marjan means cleansing, bathing. Nijagam api yagopyo mameti samupasate tabya param name parta niguda prema bhajanam. Very deep concept here. Nijangam api yagopyo mameti samupasate tabya param name parta niguda prema bhajanam. Krishna is telling in Adi Puran, there's many verses where Krishna is speaking to Arjuna in Adi Puran. He says, Arjuna, there are no greater receptacles of love for me, deep love for me, than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider their bodies to belong to me. Niguda is like gufa. Guda means gufa, means very deep. Niguda means excessively deep prem. Bhajanam, in this case, bhajanam means receptacles. They're the ashrayas, shelters of such a deep prem, niguda prem. So in prem, even when we describe different devotees and type of prem they have, we have Krishna prem and Braja prem and Gopika prem and niguda prem and Kevala prem and Shuddha prem and many different types of prems. This is niguda, very deep love. Areka adbhuta gopi bhavera swabhav buddhira gocharanahi jahara prabhav. There is another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Bhav, like we say, gopi bhav, this means the emotions. Gopi bhav, you want to know, it says, ek adbhuta. Gopi bhavera swabhav. Right? Swabhav means their nature. What is the nature of this gopi bhav? There's one very special adbhuta, ek adbhuta gun, very wonderful, amazing, extraordinary quality. What is it? That its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. So the prabhav of their swabhav, the prabhav of their swabhav is buddhi gochara nahi. You can't calculate, you can't perceive, you can't understand it. But try to hear what he says. Gopi gana kare jabe Krishna darshan sukha vancha nahi sukha haya koti gun. When the gopis see Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. They're only decorating themselves and ornamenting themselves and dressing and bathing themselves very beautifully and attractive and perfectly and symmetrically to immediately rush off and see Krishna and offer their beauty to him before it fades or becomes destroyed or the flowers wilt or whatever. They don't even spend 1 second gloating over their own beauty. Oh, I look so nice. Oh. As soon as they look in the mirror, oh, it's so beautiful. Immediately, gopis, mantris, take me, quickly take me to Krishna. So before all these flowers fade or wilt or start to go bad, while they're still fragrant and fresh and everything's perfectly placed, they don't say, oh, it looks, oh, wow, oh, it's me, oh. And nothing like this. There's no enjoyment there, which we have so much in us. So that they're simply running off to please Krishna. Gopi gan, Krishna darshan, they run, all the gopis run. Sukha vancha nahi. They have no vancha. Vancha means icha. They have no desire for happiness. But what happens? Sukha haya koti gun. It says koti. The gopis see Krishna and derive unbounded bliss. It's like millions of times of bliss, a quality of bliss millions of times. And listen to this. Gopika darshane Krishna jayananda hai taha haite koti gun gopi ashwadai. The gopis taste of pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Krishna derives from seeing them. And people say, oh, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. If you go to the spiritual world, he's just enjoying, everyone's serving him, the gopis are serving him, the gopis are serving the mother, the father, everyone's serving him, and he's just a big fat enjoyer, fat cat enjoyer, and no one gets anything, everyone's a slave. This is slavery, this Krishna consciousness is slavery. You all become slaves of this, some cult leader. And you lose your freedom, you lose your independence, you lose your self-worth, you lose your own identity, you become just an automaton or a robot or some clone of the society, spiritual society, marching like toy soldiers to the tune of the guru or to Krishna. They make these criticisms. And there's no happiness, you just slave all the time for Krishna, he just sits around and eats all the chop and bog and you don't get any happiness. But here it's something different. The gopis, when they see Krishna, Krishna sees them, he feels happy. Anandahoy. Gopika darshan Krishna anandahoy. And Krishna sees the gopis. Oh, they look so cute, so pretty. I have all your blue dress. And again, your blue dress. Again. Okay. So then, but tahoite koti gun gopi ashwadai. But what is ashwadai? Krishna gopi darshan Krishna anandahoy. There is, haya means there is. He gets bliss. But the gopis is described as koti gun ashwadhai. They ashwa udhai. Udhai means rising, like udhai. And then ashwad means tasting. So what happens is that a wonderful taste arises in their brain and in their heart. And they don't just see and feel sukha, as it says here, anand. But they taste it. They taste Krishna's beauty with the eyes of seva, with the eyes of love. Seva Lochan. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochan. This Bhakti Vilochan means eye of service. Bhakti Vilochan means the eye of love or bhakti. The bhakti eyes are eyes of service. They always see service everywhere. When someone loves someone, they see service everywhere. When you love Krishna, and you see everywhere opportunities to serve Krishna. So this is a Bhakti Lochan. the eyes of service. And that's what chanting japa is supposed to do, give us the eyes of service. When we chant Hare Krishna, we fall asleep. We get the eyes of sleep, right? Hare Krishna, Krishna. But supposedly we chant our rounds and then we want to do so much service. Oh, I can wash this, I can clean that, I can cut this, I can do that. We don't even have to ask, we just do. Immediately, like the bees, like the ants in the morning, the ants don't get together and have a conference every morning. Okay, boys, and look, you go out there and you scout around for food and you go over there and scout. They just run and know what they have to do. As soon as they wake up, or I don't know if they know if they sleep. But they just run around and do their duties. Some ants, they aerate the ant colony, or they blow air into the ant colony, and some ants are carriers, some ants are defenders, some ants are, take care of the queen ant, and they have all different duties they do in the ant kingdom, and also honeybees. So it's, when you have the eyes of service, you're engaged moment to moment, because your heart is directing you, and your eyes are showing you, and your hands are moving in Krishna's service. This is significant. The gopis taste a pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Krishna derives from seeing them. The wonderful characteristics of the gopis are beyond imagination. They have no desire for personal satisfaction. Yet, when Krishna is happy by seeing them, that happiness of Krishna makes the gopis 1 million times more happy than Krishna himself. That's called Krishna, Radha Pranaya, Radha Maya, Krishna Swadhyaya, Sukha Swadhyaya. When Krishna sees the happiness of Radharani, who is his greatest devotee, greatest gopi, when Krishna sees the unlimited happiness Radharani attains by serving him, then he becomes mystified. He says, how is it? I'm the object of service. I'm so-called enjoyer, and she's rendering everything for me. But I see that she seems to be 10,000 times more happy than I am. So I want to know, what is this happiness she's experiencing by being my servant? So I can only know that if I become her. So I have to take that, take Radharani's heart into my own heart and take her form into my own form and become Radharani, which means Krishna becomes Mahaprabhu. That's Radharani's bhav and kanti. His bhav, Radharani's bhav within and Radharani's color without. Outside Radharani's kanti, tapta kanchana, and inside Radharani's bhav. But nevertheless, the vehicle itself, the form is actually Krishna, golden Krishna, Gaur Krishna. Gaur Krishna is Krishna. Mahaprabhu is Krishna, tasting Radharani's Mahabhava, trying to experience the sweetness of being a servant of Krishna. Das, 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 and a das. Gopi Bhakti Padagami, das, das. Now a servant and servant and servant of Gopinath. So don't think that you won't get any happiness. So what's being, gopis means servants. We're all serving Krishna. Oh, if I serve Krishna, I'll lose so much. I'll lose all my friends. All my friends will say, oh, you're Hare Krishna, get out of here, you stink. And then your family goes against you. Your friends go against you. It has to be that way. Always that way. Krishna himself had so much opposition. He was born in a prison. You weren't born in a prison. And he didn't spend more than 10 minutes with his parents. And he got ripped away from his parents and became an orphan, wandering around the villages of Braj. He was born at midnight, taken out in the rainstorm. He wasn't even an hour old. He had to go out in the rainstorm. And Jamuna was flooding, and wind howling everywhere. Taken over to Gokul. Imagine how much Krishna suffered. So don't think that being Krishna's devotee, oh, now I'm Krishna's devotee, I got initiated, now no more pain, now I just enjoy easy street. Suffering is there, always there. Tan savara nahi nija sukha anurod, tadapi bhadaya sukha padila virod. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment. Anuroda. Nijasukha anurodha. They have no entreaty, no prayer, no petition. I want something. I want something from this. And yet their joy increases. This is indeed a contradiction. Avirodhera ekamatra deki samadhan gopikara sukha krishna sukhe paryavasan. For this contradiction, I see only one solution. The joy of the gopis lies in the joy of their beloved. So this is it. Their joy is Krishna's joy. And Prabhupada, the purport of Prabhupada. The situation of the gopis, this is Adi Leela chapter 4, text 189. And 170, starting 170 going on. This text 189. The situation of the gopis is perplexing, for although they did not want personal happiness, it was imposed upon them. The solution to this perplexity is that Krishna's sense of happiness is limited by the happiness of the gopis. Devotees at Vrindavan, therefore, try to serve the gopis, namely Radharani and her associates. There you have it. Doesn't say Krishna, it says Radharani. Founder Acharya, Radhadasyam, became the servant of Radharani, Gopi Bhav. Devotees at Vrindavan, therefore, try to serve the gopis, namely Radharani and her associates. If one gains the favor of the gopis, he easily gains the favor of Krishna. If you try to gain Krishna's favor directly, then it's very difficult. Better you go through the ministers rather than try to go directly to the prime minister. They're more accessible. If one gains the favor of the gopis, he easily gains the favor of Krishna, because on the recommendation of the gopis, Krishna at once accepts the service of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya therefore wanted to please the gopis instead of Krishna. But his contemporaries misunderstood him, and for this reason Chaitanya renounced the order of household life and became a sannyasi. Because he was chanting gopi, gopi, gopi. And his students said, oh, you're crazy, I'll hit you with a stick. Why you should chant the name of Bhagavan? You should chant the name of Bhagavan Krishna. Why the Purusha? Why are you chanting the name of the Prakriti or the servants? Dasi, 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 anadasi. So then he said, I better take sannyas so they won't make any more offenses to me. When they see me, they'll respect me. Gopika darshane Krishna bari prafullata se madriya bhare jara naika samata. When Krishna sees the gopis, his joy increases and his unparalleled sweetness increases also. Se madriya bhare naika samata. So Krishna, the gopis look so beautiful and Krishna sees them and he feels happy. And when they see Krishna's happiness, then their happiness is increases millions more times than Krishna. And Krishna sees that, then his sweetness increases. And when the gopis see that Krishna is finding so much happiness by seeing them and his sweetness is increasing, then their beauty increases. Amara darshane Krishna poila eta sukha. Esuke gopira prafula angamuka. The gopis think, Krishna has obtained so much pleasure by seeing me. That thought increases the fullness and beauty of their faces and bodies. So their faces become very bright. Angamuka prafula. Esuke gopira prafula. Prafula means blossoming flower. Fully blossomed flower. Prafula. Prakrishnarena ful. Full means flower, Prakrishnarena means fully developed, fully blossoming. Angamukha, their bodies, their mukha, their face and their limbs, they start to blossom with color, called vepatu, change of color due to the increase of their love in their heart. Their face is flushed with color, a reddish color, and they actually get full of light, full of joy, full of happiness. Just by the thought, just thinking, oh, Krishna has attained so much pleasure by seeing me. Gopi shobha deki Krishna shobha bhare jata. Krishna shobha deki gopir shobha bhare tata. The beauty of Krishna increases at the sight of the beauty of the gopis. And the more the gopis see Krishna's beauty, the more their beauty increases. So this is an ever-ending competition. Emata paraspara pare huda hudi. Paraspara bhare keha mukha nahi modi. In this way, a competition takes place. Right? In Bengali, it's called huda hudi. Huda hudi means jostling, competing, arguing. Huda hudi. So they're having competition, not exactly arguing, beauty competition. Krishna is so happy to see a gopi's beauty, then he becomes more beautiful and sweet. And they see his increased beauty and sweetness, and that increases their beauty and sweet beauty. And he sees, oh, they become more beautiful. Then he becomes more happy. He becomes more happy and more, oh, it feels more sweet. And they say, oh, you become more beautiful. And then they become more beautiful. And it goes on like this. In this way, a competition takes place between Krishna and the gopis in which no one acknowledges defeat. Well, that's the usual competition. Kintu Krishna Sukahai Gopi Rupagun Tanra Sukhe Sukabriti Haye Gopigan. Krishna, however, derives pleasure from the beauty and good qualities of the gopis. And when the gopis see his pleasure, the joy of the gopis increases. My happiness is your happiness. If you're happy, I'm happy. Sometimes people say like that, but they don't mean it. So if you're happy, I'm happy. It's like a way people speak like that in social intercourse. But they don't really, they mean to say, if you die, I'll be happy. Especially when you're envious of someone. Well, I'm very happy to see you. But they really mean that they're really trying to say, I would be very happy to see you dead. Sometimes people like this. Ateva ise sukha krishna sukha posh ehitu gopi preme nahi kama dosh. We find the joy of the gopis nourishes the joy of Krishna. Krishna's posh. Posh means nourishment. Like pushti mark, the path of nourishment. For that reason, the fault of lust is not present in her love. Kama dosh. Gopi prema nahi kama dosh. Kam dosh. Kam dosh, the fault of selfishness, the fault of meanness and meanness. Gopi preme nahi kam dosh. There's no fault of lust. They're not calculating for anything for their side. It's faultless. Spotless, they say, spotless prem. Kevala prem. And nirmal, it's also called nirmal prem. Spotless prem, faultless, no pockmarks on the moon. A moon without spots. Kam dosh, that's a dosh, that's a fault, that's a limitation. When you import some lust or some personal ambition or personal endeavor into your approach to Krishna, it becomes faulty, imperfect. Nahi kam dosh, when the gopi prem is like this. Prabhupada's purport. By looking at the beautiful gopis, Krishna becomes enlivened. And this enlivens the gopis, whose youthful faces and bodies blossom. Prafula. This competition of increasing beauty between the gopis and Krishna, which is without limitations, is so delicate that sometimes mundane moralists mistake these dealings to be purely amorous. But these affairs are not at all mundane, because the gopis' intense desire to satisfy Krishna surcharges the entire scene with pure love of Godhead, with not a spot of sexual indulgence. Because people do a cursory reading of the CC, and they say, oh look, they're just like a lusty man meeting some lusty girl. His face is all bright and excited, looking at her form, oh, I can enjoy, and he gets so excited, and his heart starts going, tong, tong, tong. And blood starts pumping fast through his body and gets like ready for enjoyment and gets excited. And then he gets more excited and she sees it. His eyes are twinkling and with lust and desire, and she wants to enjoy his body. So then her heart starts dong, 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 dong. And her breasts are heaving and just I'm waiting to be embraced. And so it's just like a ever increasing lusty burning fire in the chest of the two lusty lovers when they come together. This is all about lust, because it's all about, oh, I'm going to have a good time in a few minutes, and I'm going to satisfy, this lust will be satisfied with this man or this woman. This is the basic interaction of social or physical intercourse, man or woman. But that's why Krishna's coverage says, nahi kam dosh. As soon as you say this phrase, then it establishes the unique position of the gopi prem. Gopi prem. Gopi prem. Nahi kam dosh. Ateva certainly say sukha krishna sukha posh. They're happy, they only want to nourish and increase and develop and satisfy and fulfill the pleasures of Krishna, the happiness and desires of Krishna. This is the uniqueness of the Bhagavad Gopis. There's no no separate interest, no personal agenda. So their amorous intentions are not based on selfishness or just based on pleasing Krishna, because he's happy if they look like that or smile like that. This is from Keshava Ashtakam by Rupa Goswami. Upetyapati sundari tatibiravir abhyarchitam smitankura karambiter natadapanga bangi shate stanastavaka sancharan nayana chanchari kanchalam braje vijayanam bhaje vipina deshita keshavam. I worship Lord Keshava. Returning from the forests of Braj, Keshava is worshipped by the gopis, who climb the rooftops of their palaces and greet him on the path with 100 manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles. The corners of Krishna's eyes wander like large black bees around the gopis' breasts. As he passes through Barsana on his way north to Nandagaon to bring the cows back to Nanda Baba's Goshala, the gopis are leaning over there as much as they can without falling off. And when they're leaning, obviously their charms are also hanging over the railing. And Krishna's like, his eyes, those are like the golden lotus flowers, and Krishna's eyes are like two bumblebees going, he's seeing the lotus of their face, and he's seeing three lotuses. There's so many lotuses that gopis have. The lotus eyes, and lotus face, and lotus mouth, and lotus breast. So this bumblebee is becoming intoxicated by drinking all that nectar, makaranda. The anana makaranda, the nectar of their face, and their stana makaranda, and the stana means their breast. Stana makaranda, the nectar of their breast, and mukha makaranda, the nectar, the honey nectar of their mukha, of their face, like this. So this Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, he's noticing this, and he's commenting that this is our Keshava. The gopis are greeting him, they're looking at him, and they're greeting him with hundreds of manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles. It says, Stana Stavaka Sanchara Nayana Chantri Kanchalam. Anchalam. Anchalam means the corner. Chancharika, it means bees. That's interesting. It sounds like chanchal. Bees are like very chanchal. They go here and there. Chancharika Anchalam. The corners of Nayana Chancharika Anchalam. So Krishna's Nayana, his eyes, are like, the corners of his eyes are like bees. And he's Sancharat, like we say Sanchari Bhav. They're wandering around the stavaka stana. Stana stavaka means multitudes of breasts, all the different gopis' breasts. Very naughty boy. And they're not retracting themselves from the roof upon seeing his glance. They're staying there, and they're encouraging him with their dancing glances and gentle smiles. Yes, Krishna, you look. You'd be happy. Smitankura karambiter. Nattad apanga bangi shate. Smita ankura kanabita. Intermingled with the sprouts. Ankur means sprouts of gentle smiles. Nat apanga bangi shate. Shata means hundreds of manners of dancing glances. Apanga bangi. Corners. So this is just a verse that Krishna's Kaviraj included for Rupa Goswami to show how much happiness Krishna finds from seeing the beautiful forms of the gopis. Areka gopi premer sabhavika china ye prakare haya prema kama ganda hina. There's another natural symptom of the gopis' love that shows it to be without a trace of lust. We talk about gopi bhava or gopi prema, sabhavika china. China means a mark, like we say, charan china, marks on the feet. China means marks, signs, symptoms, indications. So here it's sabhavika. Sabhavika. Yeah, their very own. The Svabhavika means natural, the nature of their Gopi Prem Svabhavika. What are the signs or symptoms of it? Prakari. And it's this way. Prema kam gandha hina. First it says there's kam dosh. There's no fault of kam. And not only no fault of kam, there's not even a fragrance of kam. Not even a touch. Like sometimes someone might say, well, you know, he seems like a nice person, but I think he's a little lusty, actually. You know, you know, I mean, I don't know how. He's a nice brahmachari, but I think he's a nice sannyasi, but he seems a little lusty. And everyone will know. Someone will know. A woman will know. It's not a kama ganda hina. There's not a trace. Not even ganda means ganda, ganda, like gandharvika, means fragrance. Not even, it says trace, means not, you can't even. You smell something? No? I can't smell anything. Kam ganda hina. Hina means without. There's nothing. Gopi preme kare Krishna madhuryara pushti madhurye madhaya prema hana mahatushti. The love of the gopis nourishes the sweetness of Krishna. Krishna is madhurya purushottam. Lila madhurya, prema madhurya, vena madhurya, rupa madhurya. But where does he get all that madhurya from? Where does he get all that sweetness from? He gets it from the gopis. He takes it from them because they're the origin of the sweetness. Their beauty is sweet. Their love is sweet. Their hearts are sweet. So he drinks that beauty with his eyes. And he tastes that beauty with his tongue. And he feels that beauty with his body when he embraces them. So he extracts all this beauty and sweetness from the gopis. Then he puts it in his heart, keeps it in his heart. Then he sends it out of his flute and becomes Vena Madhurya. And he distributes it through his body and it becomes Rupa Madhurya. And he expresses it in his loving dealings with his devotees, so it becomes Prema Madhurya. And then all his different pastimes with everyone, all the sweetness he derives from the gopis, he distributes to the coward boys, to his mother and father, then it becomes Prema Madhurya. So this is the Pushti. Madhurya Pushti. Pushti means the source, the nourishment. So in other words, the mother, what's the source of the child's strength? The mother. The mother's giving her breast milk. The baby, how's a baby have strength on his own? Nothing. He'll just shrivel up and die. But he puts his mouth on the breast and he draws out the strength from the pushti, the nourishment, from the mother's milk. And he grows and develops very nicely for 2-3 years. He doesn't need anything else. That's sufficient. So it's his strength. The baby's very strong. Baby's very healthy. But who's sourcing it? Who's giving it? It's the mother. So Krishna is Madhurya Purushottam, but who's the source of the sweetness? Who's the Madhurya Pushti? The Pushti is the gopis. The love of the gopis nourishes the sweetness of Krishna. So the gopis' love is like the breast milk. Right? Without that breast milk, the baby's finished. So without the gopis, Krishna has no sweetness. No Rupa Madhurya, no Leela Madhurya, no Prema Madhurya, no Vena Madhurya. He can't live. He'll be finished. Like the baby's finished. Without the gopi's love, he's finished. When Radharani left the Rasa dance, what did Krishna think? Ah, so what? One gopi leaves, there's 2 billion other gopis here. Bhagavad Gita Puran says the Maharasa dance, there's 2 billion gopis. So they have 2 million gopis is a lot of breasts. A lot of breasts and a lot of sweet faces to kiss and bodies to dance with and play with. But he was thinking, I don't care. This one gopi's left. Then it's all for naught. These 2 billion gopis can go in the dustbin. They go in the trash can. But this one gopi is missing. She's my everything. She's my be-all and end-all. She's the summum bonum. She's the crest jewel of everyone. She's my very life of my life, my prananath, my pran priyatam. So then Krishna went searching for Radha. Where is she gone? Kotai go prema mahi. Radhe Radhe Kotai go prema mai Radhe Radhe Ashtashakhi Shiromani Radhe Radhe Ashtashakhi Shiromani Radhe Radhe Kanamano Mohini Radhe Radhe. So this is Krishna singing. Krishna singing, oh Radha, Kotai go prema mai. Oh, you're made of prema. You are my sweetness. You are my prema. You are my beloved. You are my priya. Where have you gone? Kotai, Kotai, Kotai. Where have you gone? Where have you gone? Don't you know that you are the crest jewel of all the sakis? That all these other sakis are like Just like a necklace without a gem. Like a gold chain without a pendant. You're the pendant, you're the locket, you're the cameo, you're my everything. Asti Sakhi Shiromani, Radhe Radhe. Kanu Manu Mohini, I am your Kanu. But you're my Mohini. And you've stolen my mind by leaving the Rasa dance. Kanu Manu Mohini, Radhe Radhe. Kanu's telling this song, he's singing. Manu Mohini, you've stolen my mind. You enchanted and captivated my mind, heart, everything. Atma means mind, body, soul, everything. Kanu Manu Mohini, Radhe Radhe. Kote go prema mahi radhe radhe asi sakhi shiramani radhe kana mana mohini radhe radhe Vrishabhanu nandini radhe radhe. So then Krishna calls, you don't respond this way? Well, let me call you let me appeal to you in relation to your father. You're the nandini. You're the daughter of Vrishabhanu. And Vrishabhanu is so kind and he's so generous and he gives charity to everyone in Braj. He never turns anyone down. Anyone comes to his palace, they can get food or clothing or grains or land or houses or anything. And you're the daughter of such a beneficent and charitable king. Will you leave me alone, crying and wandering in the wilderness on the banks of the Yamuna? Without you, why can I live? Vrishabhanu nandini radhe radhe kotai go prema mahi radhe radhe kotai go prema mahi radhe radhe. Kriti Vishayanande Tad Ashrayanando Tana Nai Nijasuka Vanchara Sambandha. The happiness of the abode of love, the Vishay or the Ashray, is in the happiness of the object of love. Right? This is not a relationship of desire for personal gratification. Nijasuka Vanchara Sambandha. This is not a Sambandha, a relationship based on Nijasuka. My own sukh, my own happiness. Oh, this type of gopi prema has so many titles it's described. Where they talk about Vaikuntha prema is just Vishnu prema, Vaikuntha prema, Bhagavan prema, that's all they say. When they describe this Braja prema, they talk about Kevala prema, Shuddha prema, all these different terms are there. So this is, and we heard about Nirguda prema, right? Nirguda, Niguda prema, very, very deep, very, it's translated, it's very hard to find a proper English. Deep love, Niguda prema. But it doesn't quite hit the mark, but that's what the word was used. So here is another word, Nirupadi
prema.
Nirupadi is very commonly used. I think Acharyas give a whole explanation, what is Nirupadi? Because we have to become Nirupadi.
Designations.
Upadi means titles, positions, names, designations, good and bad, dualities, dvandva. Nirupadi prema janha, tanhane riti, priti vishaya suke, ashrayara priti, nija premanande krishna, sevananda bhare, Sayanandera prati bhaktirahaya mahakrode. Nirupadi prema. Whenever there is unselfish love, that is its style. The reservoir of love derives pleasure when the lovable object is pleased. The gopis are the prema ashray and Krishna is the prema vishay. They are the reservoir, ashray, and he's the vishay, the object. When the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. Mahakrodh. Anandera prati. So if they're rendering some service to Krishna, then some happiness, somehow Krishna floods the heart of that devotee with some happiness out of gratitude or appreciation or yogamaya ranges. Then the devotee becomes angry. Oh, why is this happiness coming? I'm starting to tremble and I'm perspiring, my hair is standing in, I can't do my service. I can't do my service. Like there's some gopis are fanning Krishna. And when they're fanning, sometimes they're just trying to please him by fanning him with chamara or whatever. Not chamara, probably some flower fan. And then they all of a sudden they start to feel ecstatic. And then they start to tremble and they can't hold on to the flower fan. They start to drop the fan. They said, oh, this, they curse, go away, go, this Anand should leave. I don't want this Anand because it's interfering in my service. Mahakrodhi. They become, so there's anger there. The Krodhi, hey, well, gopis become angry. They become angry at the bliss. And everybody in the material world, that's what they're all looking for. Are you happy? Does this make you happy? This makes you blissful? You become peaceful? You find shanti in this Hare Krishna. Everyone's wanting to grab the bliss. Everyone's wanting to grab the bliss, go for it, hold the bliss, catch the bliss. And find it somehow and cherish it and never let it go. And the gopis are becoming very mahakrodhi, very angry. Hey, get out of here, bliss. Let me suffer, but let me do my service. I don't want this trembling and this ecstatic symptoms and palpitations and hair standing on end and tears flooding my eyes. I can't see Krishna. My eyes flood with tears of love and ecstatic bliss. I can't see him. I have to get my windshield wipers out. When heavy rains on the car, you have to pull over. You can't drive your car, right? You know, it's like that. Even your windshield wipers, they don't go fast enough. Ever been in a storm like that? It gets like that. All the cars pull over the side road. And whoosh, you can't do anything except steam up the windows. So this is what happens. Their eyes get all steamed up. I can't see Krishna. Then they curse it. So this is Nirupadi Prem. This is actually one of the definitions, the first definition of pure love of Krishna, which was given in Padma Puran, which was later refined and more specified in the Mangalacharna of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But the verse by which this is a elaboration of is Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tatpar Twaina Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. This is a verse in Padma Puran that says that one has to become free from all designations. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam. Must become Vinir Muktam, Mukti, free from all designations, in order that we can serve Krishna, the master of the senses. Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam, Tat Pratvaina Nirmalam, Nirmal, no dirt. Rishikesha, Bhakti Yusha. This is Bhakti. That devotion is free from designations. Fat, thin, black, white, young, old, big, small. And so this gopi's love is described as Nirupadi Prem. They don't even consider anything about themselves. The love of the gopis nourishes the love of Krishna. The gopis had no desire for selfish enjoyment. Their feeling of happiness was indirect, for it was dependent on the pleasure of Krishna. Causeless love of Godhead is always so. Such pure love, Nirupadi Prem, it's possible only when the predominator is made happy by the happiness of the predominator. Such unadulterated pure love is exemplified when the lover deprecates her happiness in service that hinders her from discharging it. And there's some examples of this. This is a standard in Shastra. You cite some point, then you give examples. It's Tattva Vichara and then Lila Vichara, or you make some point, philosophical point for consideration, then you illustrate that point or you defend that point. Or establish that point, or prove that point by quoting leelas from Shastra or other Shastra verses to support your statement. This is standard legal procedure. A lawyer goes in court and he says, Your Honor, this man should be let free because there was a similar case in 1927 in the High Court of Allahabad, and the man stabbed his wife and, you know, he was let off. Or whatever. So they cite the precedent. The previous court case. This is a verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to prove this point about how a devotee becomes mahakrodhi. He becomes very angry if he starts to feel some bliss in his service. He's rendering service to Krishna, and somehow some bliss comes without invitation, without desire, and that interrupts his service, so he becomes angry. So what's the example of that? You said that, now can you prove it? Can you give an example? Yes, I can give an example. Angastam Stamba Rambam Utunga Yantam Premanandam Daruko Navyanandat Kamsaratir Vijane Yena Sakshad Akshodiyan Antarayo Vyadayi. Sri Daruka. Do you know who Daruka is? Daruka? Who's Daruka? Chariot driver of Krishna.
Even I think the constables are also
Maybe.
Daruga in Hindi.
Maybe the word may mean that, but his name is that, and it's usually told he's Krishna's chariot driver and Dwarka. He did not relish his ecstatic feelings of love, for they caused his limbs to become stunned and obstructed his service of fanning Lord Krishna. So I hope that you don't get an ecstatic bliss and your arm becomes stunned. So you have, if it happens, you have to pray that that goes away. Okay. Govinda prekshan akshepi bashpa pura bivarshinam avivarshinam uchar ain dat anandam aravinda vilochana. Lotus eyed Radharani, Aravinda Vilochan, powerfully condemned uchai, uchai means loudly, uchai, anindat, like Shastra Ninda. Ninda means offend or condemn. Uchai anindat, nindat. She powerfully condemned her the ecstatic love that caused a flow of tears that hindered her sight of Govinda. I was mentioning that earlier. Your eyes become flooded with tears and you can't see your beloved. Like rain and the torrential downpour you can't see out your windshield. So she's Govinda Prekshan Akshepi Prekshan means, like Ikshan means seeing. She couldn't see Krishna because Bashpapura Abhivarshinam. Groups of tears that appeared like rain. Pura, like a heavy downpour of rain of tears are falling from her eyes due to ecstatic bliss of seeing Govinda. Govinda means one who gives pleasure to the senses of Radha. Vinda means to satisfy. Vinda means to satisfy or give pleasure to go means senses. So that person who pleases all the senses of Radha is known as Govindam. Arashuda Bhakta Krishna Prema Seva Vine Swasukarta Salokyari Na Kare Grahane. Furthermore, pure devotees never forsake the loving service of Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. So that's Sayujamukti, Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya, Surupya, etc. So this is Prabhadananda Saraswati's Vrindavi Mahimamrita. So this is chapter Sataka 9, verse 72. I meditate on Radha and Krishna's maidservants, whose ears are absorbed in hearing the nectarine conversations between Radha and Krishna, whose eyes are special because they are expert in watching the beauty and pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and whose minds are maddened by the jubilation born from arranging the meetings between Radha and Krishna. And this verse indicates some of the activities that Manjaris do. They arrange for the meetings, and they're always watching Radharani, not watching like a spectator. They're like, oh look, they're watching, waiting for some signal, some sanket or sanket. They're watching Radharani's eyes for some signal that she needs some service, she's thirsty, or she wants them to fan Krishna, or bring some betel nut, or bring some camphor, scented drink, flower drink with camphor scent, or bring some fruits, or bring something, do some seva. So they're always looking for some indication. So they're always, their eyes are special because they're always watching the pastimes and beauty of Radha and Krishna. And they become very happy, their minds become very happy and enlivened when they make for the arrangement of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. That was being said there. Now, in this particular verse, it tells something more about Manjaris. He's giving some indication of meditation. First, meditate on the young gopis. Saki mandalam divya rupam. Smritva kaishora nityam smara taranu sada kinkaris tatkishori. Takishori. Kinkari means handmaiden or maidservant. Manjaris are also called kinkaris. Kim Karomi. First meditate on the young gopis who are beautiful and expert in amorous pastimes. Then meditate on the young maidservants who appear in various forms and features. They are expert in various arts and are enchanting. They are decorated with transcendental garments and ornaments, and they are fully absorbed in transcendental thoughts of their beloved divine young couple. Then it gives a general meditation. In Vrindavan there is a gopi, and this gopi can mean a mandari, whose bodily complexion is as beautiful as molten gold, whose face is as charming as millions of moons, whose braided hair is decorated with clusters of blue flowers, whose beautiful nose is decorated with a golden ring, adorned with transcendental pearl. That means under here, right? Nose pearl. His attractive lips and teeth defeat the effulgence of pearls. Her attractive bud-like breasts are covered with cloth. Her waist is thin. The fine clothes increase its beauty. She wears golden anklets, necklaces, armlets, the beauty of which fills the 10 directions. She appears like a fully effulgent golden creeper. Her bodily hairs stand on end just by seeing the affectionate endeavors of Radha. This mandari is conversant with all kinds of arts, taught to her by her queen, Radha. She is a candidate for Radha and Krishna's mercy, affection, and faith. The beauty of her jewel-like toenails can be worshipped by millions of my most cherished objects. She wears cloth that has already been worn by a beloved young couple. So it's called Prasadi Vesh. Like Radharani has a blue dress. So she gets a new one, or she gives the old one to worship. And then she wears blue. This mandari wears a fine, colorful bodice. That means, you know, kancholi. Decorated with the designs of leaves and bunches of flowers. So this, her choli has some embroidery on it, something like that. Then, my heart has been stolen by the youthfulness of Radha, her skill in the art of amorous pastimes, and by Radha's crooked glances, enchanting movements, beauty, shyness, pastimes, and smile, as well as her golden complexion, sweet form, which bewildered everyone. It's all interspersed sometimes as meditations on mantras and prayers to Radha Krishna and glories of Vrindavan. It's quite an eclectic collection. He doesn't go in any systematic way. And sometimes in the middle of all these deep meditations, he'll start condemning the material world. He'll say, oh, don't even mention the name of woman. Woman, if I hear the name of woman, I want to run and jump in the yamuna. It's like this type of thing. It's interesting, I heard one discussion I told in class one time. Maybe you were there, probably. I heard someone describe the meaning of the word woman. But oftentimes you see in scriptures this word woman, and people get all buzzed out about it, especially women. They say, I read your Gurudev's books, and he seems like a big chauvinist. And he's just really castigating women and putting them in a very bad light and unfairly judging them and criticizing them throughout these shastras. And this doesn't seem to be very fair. And some devotees don't really have much response to all that. But I heard one interesting description that they said, this teacher was saying, don't think that when the shastras, whenever it says woman, that it means a female form. As I mentioned, there's different ways to understand shlokas. Adibhotika, which is external, words in the verse, then Adiatmika. Adiatmika means more internal, meaning how it applies to me, or what does it really mean to me. Adidaivika means a higher spiritual viewpoint or understanding from Krishna's viewpoint, or the spiritual consideration of what's going on at that level. So externally, you just take a bhotika, oh, woman means woman, but actually there's something parokshava, the implied meaning or the intended meaning of this word. And that one has to know by Guru's grace and by study of Sanskrit and context of that verse in terms of the whole chapter and so many things. He was saying that this word woman, it doesn't refer to body at all. It doesn't mean, you know, two breasts and all this stuff. And it's not like that. And woman, whenever the scriptures talk about woman, it means mentality. And what kind of mentality means the enjoying mentality. And if it says women are less intelligent than men, it means If someone has the mentality to enjoy the material energy, that means he's less intelligent, whether he's a man or a woman. I have a phrase like that, women are less intelligent. It means, because women, what the word woman means, enjoying propensity or enjoying mentality. It's, it refers to mentality, not a form. Not, so men can also, so most of the men in this world are also women in that regard. Because actually everyone is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasavya Vritya. He's the one supreme controller, everyone else is his servant. Everyone else is meant to serve him. So they have so many verses that women are the gateway to hell. They have things like this. Tamo Dwaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam. Tamo Dwaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam. There's a verse like that. Tamo Dwaram. Tamo Dwaram. Dwaram means gate. Tamo means hell or ignorance. Yoshita Sangi Sangam. Yoshit. Yoshit means woman. Sangi means associate. If you associate with women or men attached to women, that's the gateway to hell. So really what that verse means, you associate with somebody who's into material enjoyment, you go to hell. If you just, you're a man and you associate with some men that like to enjoy, eat, drink, and be merry, that's Yoshita Sangam. And that'll take you to hell, Tamodwaram. So if the woman, if the so-called woman is a woman's body, that person is absorbed in Krishna's service, and that means they're not, they're using everything they have for the pleasure of Krishna. They're in prakriti bhava. They're not representing enjoyment. They're representing service. So they're not women. They're dasis. Das and dasis. Das and dasis has nothing to do with gender. Because everyone's prakriti. Krishna's the only purusha. Everyone's servant of Krishna. Everyone else is dasi or kinkar or kinkari. Krishna's the only purusha. He's the only enjoyer. So anyone else thinks that they're the enjoyer, they're women. Very interesting. Like, there's so many verses.
And that imitating the Purusha Bhava means
woman.
Woman.
Yeah, there's like this book here, this verse book has all these verses about women, but and people think that they're beating women over the head or something. And because so externally, people that aren't very fixed up are people that want to see things like that, which is actually duality, which is also another side of attachment. Now look at these verses, and they'll get strength to maintain the renunciation at one level. Like here it says, the hazards, overcoming impediments. And that's all these things. Hazards of associating with women or with the opposite sex. That's actually appropriate. I guess that's what they're in. Then it says, intimate association with a woman is prohibited. So then they see all these verses quoted from the scriptures. From 7th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 12, verse 9. Woman is compared to fire and man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore a man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. That means a lonely place. No one else is around, like a forest or something. He should also avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise. So if you take this externally, it means woman. If you take it internally, it means anyone who is interested in sense enjoyment. Someone's interested in sense enjoyment, it's like fire. And if you're not, then you're like butter, whoever you are. So if you associate with that fire of the sense enjoyer, you'll become consumed. The woman created by the Lord is a representation of Maya, and one who associates with her by accepting services and so forth must certainly know that this is a way of death, like a blind well covered by grass. That's 3rd canto, chapter 31, verse 40. So This woman means the enjoying principle. So if someone's in a woman's body and they associate with a man, he becomes woman. He becomes the enjoying principle. If he just wants to, you know, if he represents enjoyment and not Krishna's service. So if that woman associates with that man, then that's Maya. That man is a representation of Maya. And by associating with him, she goes, that's a way of death. You see? It's like this. This is from 9th canto, chapter 19, verse 17. It's also in Manu Samhita, and also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhilila. Or no, Antilila. Matraswasra Duhidrava. I was telling you that verse. Navivikta-snavavit, Indriyan-valvan, Kramo-vidvam-samakarshadi. One should not allow oneself to sit alone, even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. matra, swasra, duitra. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, vidvamsham, he may be attracted by sex. So this is a morning, this is 5,000 years ago in Bhagavatam. Sit with your mother or your daughter or your sister. And you're learned it, man. You're like a Brahmin. You're not just some Vaishya or something, Kshatriya. So these are some good verses to sober up the mind. This is a prayer to be protected from lusty desires. Sanat Kamaro Vatukama Devad. It's short. Sanat Kamara is one of the four Kamaras, Chatus Kamara, the four sons of Brahma that never married. They're eternal brahmacharis. Sanat Kamara. So you pray to him and because they conquered lust. And you can conquer lust and remain a brahmachari. If you want to be a brahmachari. Anyway. This is one level. One level we have Gopi Bhav, Manjari Bhav. And the other level we have man, woman, dualities. So we have to transcend the dualities to enter into the eternal realm. Nirupadi Prem, Niguda Prem, Gopi Prem. Right? So we can only do that by good association and purely chanting the holy name. This is Sataka 9. All glories to Radha's maidservants. Who are the embodiments of enchanting transcendental effulgence that emanates from the lotus feet of Radha. The faces of the mantris are as shining as millions of moons, and their bodily complexion and features are of various colors. The mantris are expert in various arts, and are freshly youthful, and possess wonderful skills. One of Radha's maidservants is very beautiful, Mahasundarim. Her bodily color is like molten gold. A pure, soothing, unlimited golden effulgence emanates from each of her limbs. This mandri is in the prime of her youth. Her breasts are like two golden lotuses. She is dressed in yellow garments. I like this lotus thing, you know. She's dressed in yellow garments and she's decorated with various wonderful necklaces. Her round waist is as thin as that of a lion. It's decorated with an opulent sari. Her creeper-like arms are decorated with jewel-studded bangles and armlets. She wears brightly shining earrings. Her nose is like a sesame flower and is decorated with a pearl set in gold. Her teeth are like shining pomegranate seeds. Her lips are red like the bimba fruit, and they shower a flood of sweetness. Her eyes are like two intoxicated kanjan wagtail birds. Her eyebrows are like Cupid's arrows. Actually, it should be bows. Her face is like a fully blossomed lotus emanating unlimited beauty. Her attractive golden creeper-like youthful body is beautified by millions of movements and gestures. The tinkling of this mandri's ankle bells is most charming. This mandri is always moving about, trying to please the divine couple to the best of her ability. Her enchanting bluish body is another one being described here, obviously. She's a blue one, a shamala, shamala saki. Is covered with frilled cloth that moves back and forth. She is particularly expert in gesturing, smiling, and glancing through the corner of her eyes. So they come in different colors. Some are sham rung and some are gauri rung. Most of gopis and mandris are golden, but there's a few. This mandri is repeatedly stunned due to intense attachment for her most beloved divine young couple. This mandri understands their intentions and engages in pleasing them. Since she is partial to Radha, she is especially expert in the arts like joking and teasing. She is always eager to serve the lotus feet of her life and soul, Sri Radha. Sometimes this mandri asks questions with nectarine soothing sweet words. Sometimes she is chosen over the other gopis to make arrangements for amorous pastimes. Sometimes this mandri is lovingly sent somewhere with secret information. Due to being merged in unlimited ecstasy, her bodily hairs sometimes stand on end. Sometimes this mantri massages the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and sometimes she bathes them with scented oil. Sometimes she decorates them with fine clothes, ornaments, sandalwood paste, flower garlands, and sometimes she helps them fall asleep by fanning them with a chamara. Sometimes this mantri expertly makes arrangements for Shyamasundara's sporting pastimes, Another time she walks behind the Lord with a water pot and chamra in her hand. In this way she always remains absorbed in ecstatic love while serving Sri Radha. This Manjari is unable to control herself in the ways of transcendental ecstasy, resulting from hearing the secret conversation of the most passionate divine young couple, and from seeing the symptoms of ecstatic love and wonderful conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna.